Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join with us as we face the issues. We're talking about a very important subject today, a far-reaching, all-encumbersome, all-encroaching, all-encircling, if you will, events that I think that we need to be concerned about in the future leading up to the vote November the 8th. That's about 54 days from now. And I'm concerned about where we're going as a nation. But from a central biblicist viewpoint, I understand what God is doing and what God is saying. We're talking about a subject today, things to come. We're talking about things to come. It's an eschatological prophetic term, what God is going to do in the future. We need to understand the Bible warns us about things to come. And that is not just things to come from a national standpoint, but an international and global standpoint. In our modern woke cancel culture idea and mindset, it appears to be the feeling that all of our problems are really, really the results of the conservatives, the Christians, and the patriots in America. Yet every believer who studies the Word of God and understands what God's Word is saying, they understand that we're facing a new world order. In fact, de facto, new world order. A new world order where the Antichrist, the man of sin, the Antichrist will rule and reign with an iron fist. We're going to talk about that potential and things to come, where we're going in that realm, and what we need to do as Christian conservatives and patriots in this lead up to, including the election day on November the 8th. We're going to talk about the question, what kind of world do you want? What kind of nation do you want? What kind of America would you like to see? We're going to be dealing with these issues from a central biblicist worldview. Now, I've had a number of people down through the years say, well, what do you mean by a central biblicist worldview? It means that, ladies and gentlemen, that everything that's happening in the world, everything that's taking place politically, socially, economically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, professionally, everything that's taking place, we view it from the prism of what does the Word of God say. You see, God's Word is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 is the unfurling of God's plan for man. It is what God has done, is doing, and shall do. It is the truth book, as I like to call it. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God, the truth of God's Word that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. But it is truth, ladies and gentlemen, that is repulsed in the minds and the hearts of multitudes today. It is rejected. It is refused. It is dissed, as the world likes to call, using that term. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not just drifting from the truth. We're on a jumbo 777 full steam ahead going against and away from the truth. We need to recognize what is truth. Multitudes have challenged that question. Multitudes believe that somehow, some way, their truth is the only truth. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what Senator DeMint says. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in America's Christian churches. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. John Huss says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what we attempt to do on this broadcast each and every day. I pray that you tune in each day with the understanding that you're going to hear truth from a central biblicist viewpoint. And the question is, how do you respond to it once you hear it? I've had people say, well, you know, where do you get your information? I watch MSNBC. I watch the Communist Network News. I watch ABC, NBC, and the other networks. And I don't hear those things. Ladies and gentlemen, 99% of what I bring to you each and every day on this broadcast, 99% you'll not hear on the news media outlets across America. You're certainly not hear it on the Communist Network News. You're not hear it on ABC, NBC, CBS, and the other news outlets. You're not hear it from any of the left, I call them the loose likes, lost liberals, on the left that's trying to undermine and destroy America. But the intent is to open our eyes that we may see and understand. As Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, once we know these things, et cetera, how should we then live? The challenge is for us to recognize what is taking place and to understand from a central biblicist worldview that God's not asleep, God's not dead, God's not on vacation, he's not got COVID, he's alive and well, and he's never had to go to plan B because plan A has failed. But man is a volitional being. We make choices and decisions today that's undermining, tearing down, and destroying the very national heritage that we've been given by our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason we need to go back to what is real, and that is to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death, as the 15th century theologian Jan Hus says. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mander. It's the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful, wonderful identifier, a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7 on the campus of Tools for Time. Find the flag and the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, the home of Tools for Time. It's located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. And ladies and gentlemen, there's some good, good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach. That means a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. We need to understand the condition of the nation that we're living in. In Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe we're in a state of mourning across the nation today. But I believe there's an answer to it. I believe that every Christian, conservative, and patriot needs to tune in, listen up to this broadcast today. Love to have you call in with your dialogue and discussion, your questions and your comments about what you said. That telephone number to do so is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue today, things to come. What's going to be taking place in the future? How should we then live? What should we do coming in the next 53, 54 days? How should you vote? And ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear that a lot of people today that feel that somehow, some way that you ought not to talk about how to vote. In fact, there are a number of people that say that as a Christian, we ought not to say anything in relationship to the voting. We ought not to be involved in the political things, as a lot of people use the term in what they're saying. But my Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, in what I call God's election guide, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, God sets forth exactly how we ought to carry out the civic responsibility, the civil responsibility in the civil government that we have today. We are citizens, Christians are citizens, in this world and in the world to come. So we need to be good citizens. We need to honor God. The Bible says in Exodus 18:21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of faith, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands and rulers over hundreds and rulers over fifties and rulers over tens. Ladies and gentlemen, that outlines your city government, your state government, your national government very, very clearly in that context, and it tells us what kind of people we need to find and vet and place in office. We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today. We need to understand the Bible warns us, ladies and gentlemen, of things to come, what's going to take place in the future, what's going to happen in the future of America. Have you thought about that? We see what's happening today. We're going to talk about that on this broadcast. We see the deterioration of morals and ethics and values. As Tony Perkins said a few months back, this present president, the present administration, everything they're doing is undermining, tearing down, and destroying faith, family, and our freedom. And we see that. That seems to be on a rampant, fast roll, that there seems to be no answer to it. But we have an answer. God is our hope. God is the place that where we need to place our trust and confidence, and not in government, not in man, according to the scripture. We need to place our faith, trust, and confidence in God. But yet we have the responsibility as citizens in America. We have the responsibility and the major opportunity to point the nation in the direction that God would have it to go, being salt and light in the system that we're presently in. In our modern woke cancel culture, as I said earlier, there seems to be a feeling that all of our problems, all of the difficulties, are all as a result of the conservatives, the Christians, and the pastors. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, as I say that, I think very quickly that one day when the rapture takes place, all the Christians are suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. The loose, likes, lost liberals on the left, those in the socialist, communist vein that calls themselves Democrats today, they're going to say, look, somehow, some way, we don't know what happened, but all of those naysayers, all of those that have caused us the heartaches and the problems, all of those that have prevented progress have now been removed, and we don't know where they are or what's happened, but they'll feel that somehow, some way, that all of the problems are over when that takes place. But the problems, ladies and gentlemen, there, the loose, likes, lost liberals, those that are on the left, those that are the socialist, Marxist, communist leaders today, that do not know anything about God or God's word, it's evident by how they vote and what they do. They will feel as though they have a fast track then to carry out their plans. But ladies and gentlemen, every believer, everyone that studies the word of God, that recognizes what God's word says, we need to understand we are in fact on the fast track for a new world order. That new world order, ladies and gentlemen, is when the Antichrist, the lawless one, the man of sin, as the Bible calls him, steps on the scene and will rule this world with an iron fist. Ladies and gentlemen, today, all the left, what would you call them, the leftist, all of those that are on the left, all of those with the three-letter federal agencies, that is the IRS, the FBI, the FDC, and the CDC, the DOJ, et cetera, all of those, ladies and gentlemen, are focused on their ultimate dream of global control. They're focused on it doesn't make any difference what they do. At the present time, listen very carefully, the entire Biden administration and every one of the agencies linked to the Biden administration, they're focused on one thing, and that is their ultimate dream of utopian global control. This is exactly, ladies and gentlemen, where we're rapidly heading in the society in which we're living in today. We're headed in that direction. I was looking at an article that says the government is not our friend. Founder of True the Vote discusses being targeted by the FBI and the IRS. Years before the FBI raided President Donald J. Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, Catherine Engelbrecht, founder of election monitoring organization True the Vote, already understood that federal agencies were being weaponized against political foes. During President Barack Obama's administration, her personal business and nonprofit dealings suddenly became of interest, intense interest to the federal government. She endured more than 15, listen, she endured more than 15 instances of audits or inquiries from the FBI and the IRS, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms, and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Engelbrecht said seeing President Trump's home raided made her sick. It reminded her of her own experience and offered proof that more than a decade after her dealings with the federal law enforcement began, the United States is moving toward a communist nation, end quote. Engelbrecht says True the Vote was the first national election watchdog group. She had another group, King Street Patriots, a Tea Party organization that she founded in Texas. Further, the article states she had been holding weekly meetings, public meetings, and the FBI wanted to see a list of her attendees. She later learned it was the FBI's domestic terrorism unit that had been visiting her and asking her questions. In 2011, her personal and business taxes were audited by the IRS for the first time, each audit going back many years. In 2012, her business was inspected by OSHA when she was not present. The agency said it found nothing of serious importance or problems significant in its report, but still fined the business $20,000. 2012, and again in 2013, the ATF audited her family business. How does this happen when we shouldn't have been on anybody's radar at all, Engelbrecht says. I look back now and understand exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to take out what they perceived to be opposing political voices. Back then, there was no other nationally focused election integrity organization. They needed to kneecap us very hard before we began to gain any momentum, and that's exactly what they did, Engelbrecht says. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm using that to set the stage to where we're going in relationship to our conversation today about things to come. Things to come, exactly what's going to take place. As you study the scripture, let me set the stage. As we study the scripture, we find that the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure, the taking away of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, every true believer. Not every church member, every Christian. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 and following. But everyone that has truly said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord will be snatched out of this world. And the man of sin, the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. He will be empowered by Satan and all of the demons. He will be the one that will step on the scene. According to Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8, all the kings, the potentates, the prime ministers, the presidents around the globe will surrender their authority, their power to the Antichrist. He'll not take it by force. It'll be surrendered to him. And he will rule as a dictator, a tyrannical dictator. He will rule and reign this entire globe with an iron fist. And those that are setting the stage today, those want to be globalists, those want to be one world order people, setting the stage for the ultimate man of sin, the Antichrist, to step on the scene. So, ladies and gentlemen, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, gives us kind of a photo finish of what's taking place and where we're going today. Immediately following the rapture, that man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene, ladies and gentlemen. And there will be a requirement, listen very carefully, there'll be a requirement ultimately for every human being on the face of the globe to have some identifier. We have recently in the past several years, because of COVID and the COVID requirement of a COVID pass, some cities in our nation have already introduced that, already operate on that basis. If you go someplace, you got to show your COVID card, your COVID pass to be able to say, you know, I've been jabbed with the COVID vaccination. By the way, that's another whole story. We'll touch on part of that today, where that COVID jab's killing millions of people around the globe. Nation after nation after nation is saying to cease and desist with the global requirement of the jab, because the jab is a phony farce. It's designed, ladies and gentlemen, as a mass destruction system. It's designed as a mass eugenics program designed by those that want to see about 1 billion people removed from the face of the globe to reduce the global, climate problem, as they call it. But we are understanding, ladies and gentlemen, that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, there's an identifier that's needed. There's an ID pass. Without the ID pass in the hand or the head, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16, 17, and 18 in particular, without that identifier, you'll not be able to buy, sell, or trade. There'll be no buying, no selling, no merchandising, no travel, no doctor, no medical insurance, no food, no clothing, no shelter without the ID, without the mark. It's called the mark of the beast, as you study the scripture. So just what are we witnessing today that points to all of these things culminating in the biblical eschatological future of things to come? What are we seeing today that's taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that George Barna and the Barna Report in his latest report points out very clearly what is needed and what is necessary and what is taking place. In fact, I'm looking at one of the articles from Barna, and it says, survey of Christian parents should shame the church. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of what Barna in the Barna Report does. He does a research and a report. He's been doing this for about 50 years. He is the expert at it, not at having polls, but in actual surveys of events. And this is one of the declensions that we find in the morals, the ethics, and the values of our nation today. And it's as a result of the church shrinking back from its responsibility of teaching and preaching the truth of the Word of God. This article says, survey of Christian parents should shame the church. A well-known researcher who has tracked Americans' beliefs for generations says his latest finding reflects a hard-hitting truth about hypocritical, clueless, culture-chasing Christian parents. According to the latest study from the Cultural Research Center, a whopping 67% of adults with preteen children said they are Christians. Once that term is defined, however, only 1 in 50 hold an orthodox belief about God, belief about the Bible, and a belief about truth. For its study, the center broke parents of preteen children into two categories, parents of preteens and Christian parents of preteens. The pollsters interviewed 600 adults in January and another 1,000 in February for a third annual survey of the church. Veteran pollster George Barna, director of research at the center, told American Family Radio, a person's deeply personal beliefs begin developing when they're still in diapers. It's almost completely formed by the age of 13. And that is what makes up the role of Bible-believing, church-attending parents. So which is why the famous pollster is increasingly dismayed to learn a majority of these parents are failing their children. Among the Christian parents surveyed, only a slim majority of them, 56%, agreed that they will be in God's presence in heaven when they trusted it because they trusted in Jesus Christ. 1 out of 4 admitted they go through an entire week without ever worshiping God, which is surely being seen by their and through their own kids. And he goes on with the survey, ladies and gentlemen. the bottom line is, this article says only 24% of parents said they view the Bible as their primary source of moral guidance. Among those Christian parents surveyed, only 33% agreed with that statement. And I could go on and on and on with the declension in our culture today. And it starts in the home and the family with a disbelief in God, a dissing of God, a dissing of the Word of God, and a failure to study the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the reason we are so concerned today with where we're going in this nation and what we need to do to redirect the trajectory while there's an opportunity. Christians, conservatives, and patriots must have, as George Barna says in another article, we must have all hands on deck. And he's talking about the vote coming November the 8th. We see the handwriting on the wall, as we call it often. We see the direction we're going in. What can we do about it? Is there anything that the Christians can do that can redirect the direction that we're going, or that can retard the speed in which we're seeing the ruin of America? What can we do? Now, yes, we need to pray. We need to talk about it. We need to share it. Pastors from the pulpits need to be preaching it. We need to talk about the election and vet the candidates and let the congregation know who to vote, why to vote, and what the Bible says. And I believe nothing less than that pleases God. We need to recognize our responsibility in doing so. But ladies and gentlemen, the telephone is 831-0917, 831-0917. You want to put in your 2 cents worth? Now is the time. You want to ask a question about where we're going, the direction we're going in, how we've gotten into the position that we're in today, what's caused it, and what is the answer? What is the answer? How do we get relief from where we're on the fast track of going with the deterioration, with the annihilation, with the evisceration of what we call a constitutional republic today? What do we do? How do we respond? George Barna says, he calls, and I'm reading the head of the article, George Barna calls for all hands on deck for election 2022. Listen carefully, and this sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen, for the balance of our broadcast today. George Barna, the renowned, prestigious researcher on religious activity, churches and Christianity, spirituality in America. George Barna calls for all hands on deck for election 2022. He says, and I quote, "This year is the year for all hands on deck for Christians at America's elections." According to George Barna, senior research fellow at the Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview, he says, "As I look at the state of our country today, during this time of government-driven oppression, government-driven prosecution, deception, disunity, and redefinition, I do not believe that begging the true church to stand and be strong and long is either ill-timed or overreacting." Quote, "If we do not stand this November, we, the people, Christians, conservatives, we may not have another chance. And standing in November means more than simply voting and carrying out some other non-strenuous election-related effort. This is a season for intensity, diligence, solidarity, sacrifice, and intercession." He said, "November election midterm represents an all-hands-on-deck moment for biblical Christians throughout America." He said, "For years, Christians have thought they were fulfilling their obligation by casting a ballot." By the way, ladies and gentlemen, David Barton of Wall Builders Organization, David Barton says, over 40 million Christians do not vote. Out of the Christians in America, over 40 million Christians never vote. Continuing this article by George Barna. "But the times have changed dramatically. Those votes were cast during an era when government was legal and healthy, albeit sometimes misguided, and elections were generally fair and trustworthy. Those days are gone now completely. Corruption, deception, abuse of power, misuse of government funds, and media collusion are the new political norm in America. Merely voting is no longer enough to ensure the security and extension of our safety, country driven by the Constitution, rule of law, and biblical morality." He says there's a time for all hands on deck, and that's now. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.